Today's daf is Baba Kama daf mem hey. We left off on Baba Kama daf mem dalet on the bays. We did not get down to the bottom Mishnah. We're at the second to last Mishnah, or the first Mishnah on daf mem dalet on the bays, about six lines down into the medium sized lines. Shara Isha v'shara Yisomim, Shara Apotropos, Shara Midbar, Shara Hegdash, Shara Gersha, Meis Veinli Yarshin, Harei L'chev Misa. There are six different types of Shvarim where you might have had a thought that they're not chayiv misa for killing somebody. A shor owned by a woman. Excuse me. A shor owned by yisomim. A shor that's in the care of apotropsim. A shor that's a wild shor not owned by anybody in the midbar. A shor a hegdish. A shor that's owned by a hegdish. Or a shor that belongs to a ger who died but doesn't have any yarshim. In all these cases, one might have thought that the shor does not get misa. Nevertheless, you do get misa. We'll discuss in a moment why you would have thought that you don't get misa in these cases. Anyway, but Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says in three of those cases, the shor taka does not get misa. In the last three, shor midbar, shor hegdish, shor ger shemes, pturim min misa, l'fishen lem bailim. The last three cases, you don't get misa because they don't have bailim. You can only get misa if the shor is owned by somebody. So we already know why the last three, there's a havamina that they shouldn't get misa. Now we're going to need to work on what the havamina would be on the first three. So Tanu Rabbanan says the Gemara Braisa, it's very similar to our Mishnah. Shor shor shiva lahavi, the psukim repeat the word shor seven times. Right, Rashi writes that zayin shor ksuvim beparsha benogeach adam, that seven times the word shor is in the parsha of negeach adam, to teach me that the shor is going to be chayiv misa in all of the following cases. Meaning these are the same cases we mentioned in the Mishnah. Shara Isha, Shara Yisomim, Shara Petropos, Shara Midbar, Shara Hegdish, Shara Gershameh Svein Lyarshin. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says, no, Shara Midbar, Shara Hegdish, Shara Gershameh Svein Lyarshin, Peturim and Amisal Fisha and Lambailim, exactly as he disagrees in the Mishnah. Now, you might be asking yourself, wait a second, it says Shara seven times to come include the six different types of Sharam we mentioned over here. There are the three that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees about, and then there are the first three. That's a total of six. So Tosos points out, a very short Tosos, Shor Shor Shiva, Chad the Gufei, Vishisla Asuye, meaning that one of them is needed the Gufei just for the Pshat and the Parsha. And then the extra six are the ones that we're darshaning. We're not darshaning all seven, we're only darshaning an extra six. So that's how the Braisa tells us that the same thing as the Mishnah, but the Braisa just adds in the detail that this is derived from the word shor that appear from the number of times the word shor appear in the parsha. Now, what's the havamina that the first three should not be chayiv misa? Why does the Tanakam have to tell me that the first three are chayiv misa? So by shor ha'isha, Rashi says, shor ha'isha dolotema bal ha'shor k'siv lashon zachar. Because the pasuk says bal hashor, so I might have thought that it's only it doesn't say baalas hashor, it just says the bal hashor. So that's a lashon zachar. So I would automatically assume that it applies only to a man and not to a woman. It's a little bit difficult because the Gemara assumes that the Torah always speaks b'lashon zachar, but it speaks to men and women equally, even though it speaks b'lashon zachar, unless it's mefaret, specifically ish. When you use the word ish, so then it's talitzi isha. But otherwise, generally speaking, the default language of the Torah is always b'lashon zachar. So it's a darshan from bal hashor, unless Rashi's understanding that bal is more like ish, that it's something that's a very definitive type of a lashon. But it doesn't seem that way. So Tosfos says, no, the pshat is not because of the words bal hashor that it's speaking b'lashon zachar, but rather itzrich la'asuyim mishum de omer la'el ki yigach negicha l'misa negicha l'nizakin, that we compare negicha that kills to negicha that damages, u'b'nizakin k'siv ish davka l'kach itzrich riboy. By nizakin it says ish, so whenever it says ish, that really does mean man, not woman. So I might have thought that by killing also, that it's only by a short ish and not by a shor that belongs to an isha. So that's why the Braisa and the Mishnah have to tell me shor isha. What about shor ha'yisomim? What's the havamina that shor ha'yisomim should not be chayiv? So Rashi and Tosfos are silent on the issue, but the Nemuka Yosef just points out, and if you test some base, B'dapei Arif, He says v'shar yisomim delo tema kiven delav b'nei deyaninhu lo mechayvi. That we're talking about yisomim katanim. So one might think that since they're not b'nei deyas, since they're not b'nei das, so therefore they shouldn't be chayiv. And shar apotropos lehavimin is delo tema kiven deika shmira kolduhu velo nafesh hezeka. That maybe there's special rachmanos when the shor is in the care of an apotropos who's taking care of it for the yisomim, so that the yisomim shouldn't lose their money. That since in general it's not so common that a shor is going to go and kill somebody, so they do a shmirah called the who's all that maybe should be expected from them, and therefore there's an extra rachmanos that they're an exception to the rule that the children shouldn't lose their money. So Kamash Mulan, the Mishnah, and the Braisa tells me that no, they in fact are, the Shor is still going to be Chayiv Misa. Okay, right in the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Potarai Rav Yehuda afilu nagach l'besof higdish, nagach l'besof hivkir. That Rav Yehuda even patters when Rav Yehuda says these last three cases of a Shor that doesn't belong to anybody, which is essentially what they all are, a Shor Midbar, a Shor Hegdish, or belongs to Hegdish, doesn't belong to an individual owner, or a Shor of a Ger who died and doesn't have any Yorshim, he even patters if at the time that the Shor did the damage, it did belong to somebody. And then after it did the damage, the person who belonged to decided, you know what, I'm going to make it a Hegdish. Or he decided, I'm going to make it Hefker. What do I need a Shor that does damage like this? It's Hefker, whoever wants it could have it. So even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda would say, the owner was part, even though at the Shasa Hezek, it definitely did belong to somebody. Mimai, how do I know Rabbi Yehuda would go so far, that even if at the time of the Hezek it belonged to a person? Mituktani Tarti, from the fact that it splits up the case into two different examples. Shara Midbar, it mentions a Shor Midbar and a Shor of a Ger who dies and doesn't have Yorshim. Shor Ger Shemes my Nihu. Why is a Shor Ger any different than anybody else's Shor? The Kivin Dein LeYorshin Avle Shor Hefker. The point is, since he doesn't have any Yorshim, it's a Shor that's Hefker. So if it's a Shor that's Hefker, that's the whole point. Hainu Shara Midbar, Hainu Shara Gershemes, Vein Liyarshim. Then it's the same exact thing as a Shara Midbar. A Shara Midbar and a Shara Gershemes, Vein Liyarshim are the same exact case. They're both a Shar Shal Hefker. So why would the Mishnah tell me both cases? Elav HaKamashmalan. So it must be that this is the Chiddush. The Afilu Nagach L'Besof Hikdish, Nagach L'Besof Hifkir, Shmamina. Must be telling me that not only if it's Shar Hamidbar, that it didn't belong to anybody at all at the time that it did the damage, not only in that case is Rabbi Yehuda going to say that you're Pater, but even if it did belong to you, and then you were Makdish it, then you were Mafkir it, after it already did the damage, even in that case, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that you're Pater. That's why he tells me both cases. Tanya Nami Hachdi. We have a Brice that supports this as well. Yes, Ralke Namar of Yehuda. Afilu Nagach L'Besof Higdish, Nagach L'Besof Hifkir. Pater, even if it gored, and then you're makdish it, gored, and then you're mafkirit, you're pater. Shnemar v'huor b'bayla v'hemis. And what are we dashing from that? Ad shite misa v'hamad b'din shavin kechad. That you need both the misa and the hamad b'din to be in the same rishus. That it should be, the shor should be in the same rishus at the time that you have the hamad b'din, that you have that goddess edus on the shor. Gmar din lo binon. But wait a second, that's it. All you need is the Misa and the Ha'amad B'din. What about the Gemar Din? Meaning, what about at the very end when they're issuing the Pesach Halacha? By then, it's okay if the person was Mafkarit. By then, it's still going to be Chayiv Misa. If the person was Mafkarit, Vashar Yisakel Gemar Din Hu. You have to read the whole Pasuk. Pasuk says, V'imshar Nagachu Mitmol Shul Shom, V'huad B'baylov, V'lo Yishmerenu, V'hemis Ish O Isha, Hashar Yisakel, V'gam Ba'alav Yumas. So it has all three stages mentioned in that one pasuk. You have the damage, you have the edus on the bailim, and the gemar din. So how can you say that it only needs the hamad b'din to be while it's still in the owner's possession? Answers the gemara: Ela ema achte misava hamad b'din u gemar din shavim kechel inachinabi. It means to say you need all three. You need the damage, the hamad b'din, and the gemar din. All while it belongs to a person. Otherwise, Rabbi Yehuda would say that it is pater. Okay, new Mishnah. Sharshu yotzei lisaka. Let's say you had all that. You had the edus, the gemar din, everything's done. The shor is being taken out to be stoned right now. And then at that point, v'kedishu b'aylov. This is the next logical step from the previous discussion. And at that point, the owner decides he wants to make it hekdish. Eino Mukdash. Well, at that time, it's too late. He can't make it Hekdash. It's not his anymore. You can only make it Hekdash when it still belongs to you. Shachto, if you then shecht it at that point, Besaro Aser, then the meat is going to be Aser. You did a Kashra Shechita, but the meat's going to be Aser. Vim Ad Shalom, Nigmar Dino, Hekdash, Bailov, Mukdash. But if prior to the Gemar Din, you managed to make it Hekdash, then it actually does belong to Hekdash. Vim Shachto, and if you shecht it prior to the Gemar Din, then the basar of that animal is going to be mutter. The Gemara is going to have a brisa that elaborates on this. Period, though. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Now the Mishnah goes on a totally new topic, not relating to someone being makdish or anything like that. Rather, masr l'sham rechinam u'l'shoel l'nosei sachar l'socher. If someone gives his shor to sham rechinam, to shoel, to sham sachar, to socher, nichnus l'tachas ha'bailim. Those people take the place of the bailim. Mu'ad mishalim nezek, shalim mitam mishalim chatzi nezek. In the sense that they are chayiv in all the same nezikin that the bailim would be chayiv in. Meaning, if I borrow your shor, and then under my care, the shor goes and damages, I'm going to be chayiv chatzi nezek if it was a tam. I'm going to be chayiv nezek shalim if it was a muad, just as if I were the bailim. Right, Rashi points out, masr l'shom rechinam ad shlo nagach v'lav ha'resha kayel nusa achritihi, that this has nothing to do with a shor that's being brought out, a gemara din before the gemara. It's a totally new case, just tam. Regular guy, you give a regular shor to somebody else as to be a shomer, so he's going to be chayiv in all the normal things that the bailim is chayiv on. But first we're going to go back and discuss the first half of the Mishnah about being makdish and shechting a shor that's going to get killed. So the Mishnah said that if it's after the Gemara Din, it's too late, it's not yours anymore to be makdish, and if you shecht it, it's not kosher. Before the Gemara Din, it's not too late. The hektish is going to be chal, and the basar is kosher if you shecht it. Tan Rabbanan, shor shehemis ad shelo nigmar dino machro machor. If before the Gemara Din comes, you try to sell it, so the sale is valid. Now, we didn't mention that in the Mishnah. We mentioned hektish, and we mentioned shechting it. But the Brisa adds that if you sell it, it's also a valid sale. Hekdesh or muktash. And if you are makdish it, then it's muktash. Then it counts as hekdesh. Shechto b'saro mutter. And if you shecht it, then the basar is going to be mutter. Hechziru shomer lebeis bailov muksar. And if it was under a shomer's care, now it gets into a shomer a little bit also. If it was under a shomer's care while all this happened, meaning I lent you a regular shor, and all of a sudden the shor goes and kills somebody, there's a whole din Torah about it, and right before the Gemara Din, you say, oh, by the way, here's your shor back. Now, the din Torah is going to go on, but you're giving me a shor back that's going to get killed now because of what it did while it was under your care, so still that's okay. That's considered being chozer. That's fine. All the shomer has to do is return the shor. Haresh al chol fanecha. Here's your shor. Have a nice day. That's all you need to. That's all you need to do. Good. Says the Brice of Viter. That's all. If all this happens before the Gemara Din, Misha Nigmar Dino. But after the Gemara Din, Machro Eno Machor. Any sale is totally invalid. Hekdesho Eno Muktosh. Any attempt to be makdish it is unsuccessful. Does not have the status of hekdesh. Shachto bas b'saru aser. If you shacht it, the bas is going to be aser. And Chzir Shomer LeBeis Baal LeVeinu Muchzer. If the Shomer tries to return it, it's not considered returning it because he's not giving me back the same thing I gave him. He's giving me back a dead shard, essentially. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Af Mishne Nigmar Dino Chzir Shomer LeBeis Baal Muchzer. Rabbi Yaakov disagrees with the last point that when it comes to the Chiyuv of a Shomer, all the Shomer has to do is return my shard. Doesn't make a difference what the shard's halachic status is now. That even after the Gemara Din, the Shomer can return the shard and it's absolutely fine. So what exactly is the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yaakov? Right, the Rabbanan say if you return the shard after the Gemara Din, that's no good. That's not called returning the shard. Rabbi Yaakov says if you return the shard after the Gemara Din, that is good. That's fine. So says Gemara Leima Baha Kamifli. Maybe they're arguing about the following. The Rabbanan Savri Ein Omen B'Yisrei Ana Hareshel Chal Fanecha. Rabbi Yaakov Savri Omen B'Yisrei Ana Hareshel Chal Fanecha. When something becomes Asabana, can I say, it looks the same, here's your item, right? Give it right back to you and say, even though you gave it to me when it was Mutabana, now it's Asabana. Right, let's say you gave me yayin and I was menasichit, something like that. So can I give it back and say that it tastes the same, looks the same, it's all the same? Hareshel chalafanecha. So that's the machlokas. The Rabbanan say that you cannot do that. Rabbi Yaakov says, that's fine, that's called returning. So Amar Rabbi, Rabbi says, no, that's not the machlokas. Everyone agrees by Yisrael, no, you absolutely can say Areshel Chol Fanecha. How do I know that? Because if it were not so, if you could not say by Yisroena, Hareshel Chol Vanecha, then there should have been a machlokas by Chametz Bepesach. Says Rashi, Dimkein, the Rabbanan Ein Omrin, if the Rabbanan held you cannot say Hareshel Chol Vanecha, Liflug Rabbanan B'Chametz Bepesach, V'Lemru D'Chayiv. Let the Rabbanan say that by Chametz Bepesach you cannot say Hareshel Chol Vanecha. But we know the Rabbanan do not disagree when it comes to Chametz Bepesach. We pass them later on. The Rabbanan Omel Hareshel Chol Vanecha. The Katani, what's the case? Gazal chametz vavralav pesach vechziro. I steal your chametz, I steal all your schnapps, and then Pesach passes, and it was in my possession, the possession of a Jew, the entire Pesach, and then I return it after Pesach. We know chametz vavralav pesach is aser, right? So I return it to you after it already becomes aser. V'chein shor ad shlo nigmar dino, omer lo hareishel chalafanecha. And also shor prior to the gmar din, you could always say hareishel chalafanecha. Aval mishen nigmar lo. The only exception is Rabbanan hold that once it's the Gemara din has happened, on a shor you can't do it. Vasfarl Rabbanan Hudishmilu Vikatani de Bukhamis Pasak Modu Damin Bisrayan Areshal Khalfanecha. But you see the Rabbanan or Moda that you could say Areshal Khalfanecha when it comes to Chametz Pesach. So it can't be, the Pshat cannot be that they're arguing about whether you could say Areshal Khalfanecha by Israel. That's not the issue. What's the issue? Back in the Gemara, Elahacha begomrin dino shel shor shelo b'fanav kamifli. They're arguing whether you can have a Gemara din on the shor when the shor is not there. The Rabbanan savri ein gomrin dino shel shor ela b'fanav. The Rabbanan hold that by definition, the Gemara din of a shor has to be when the shor is there, and therefore the guy can't say hareshel chalafanecha because he's not even giving it back. It's in front of Beis Din now. Damrlei, the original owner could say, "Iadartineli, had you returned it from me, it wouldn't be in the position that it's in right now. Have marakle lagma like we had previously. I would have hidden it. I would have made sure that Beis Din didn't get its hands on it. And therefore, if Beis Din didn't get its hands on it, they can't just make a gemara din without the shar there. So the shar never would have become aser. Have marakle lagma." But you gave my shor over to the hands of people who I can't get it back from. So now I'm stuck because now it's going through a din Torah because it's in front of the Beis Din right now. But had you given it back to me, I would have made sure that it never would have been in front of the Beis Din. So you call that a chazai? You can't be machzir to me like this. You have to be machzir literally. You have to bring it back to me. For Yaakov, so for Yaakov holds no. Gomrin dinu shel shor shelo b'fanav. They could make a gemara din of the shor without the shor there. There's no problem. So if the owner says, you should have given it back to me, I would have hidden it. So the shomer could say, okay, and if you would have hidden it, then what would have happened? They still would have had a gemara din on it. As soon as it comes out of hiding, Beis Din's going to take it and it's going to go get killed. So you wouldn't have gained anything from hiding it anyway. So my time in the Rabbanan, what's the reason for the Rabbanan? Why did the Rabbanan hold that the Gemar Din has to be the fun of Shor Shor, that the Shor has to be there at the Gemar Din? Shor is going to talk, he's going to try to defend himself. Well, what's the point? What's the purpose of having the Shor there at the Gemar Din? So he says, it's a Vaiter Drasha from that Pasuk. We keep on going back to this Drasha. Hashor Yisakel V'gam Ba'alav Yumas. Pasuk says the shor gets stoned and the bailam dies, and we compare the misa shor to the misa sabailam. That kamisa bailam kach misa shor ma bailam b'fnei ma shor b'fanav. There's no logic to it. But just as the bailam needs to be there, and that there might be logic to, but just as the bailam needs to be there, so too the shor needs to be there. It doesn't have to be logical. That's what the pasuk says. Rabbi Yaakov says, no, but that's ridiculous. Bishlam a bailam b'nei taina ninu. We compare the misa bailam to misa shor for things that make sense. Number of Dayanim, for instance. Okay, so it makes sense that the number of Dayanim, because it's not illogical to assume any number of Dayanim would judge any case. It's just, it's all based on drashas from Pesukim. So you can make a drash from Pesukim that the number of Dayanim is going to be like the number of Dayanim, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the beginning of Sanhedrin Darshans. That the number of Dayanim for a Shar is going to be the same as the number of Dayanim for the Bailam. And so, But over here it doesn't make any sense. He's not a bnei taina. What are they going to say? They're not able to. The shar's not able to put forth any taina. That's what those points out. El shar bar tainu va'afilu darshim bi'alma k'mis ba'am kach mis shar lahach vil sein svar l'darsho. You know what Tosfos is pointing out is don't think that Rabbi Yaakov is rejecting the drasha of k'mis ba'am kach mis shar. Rabbi Yaakov absolutely accepts the drasha. He's rejecting the application. He thinks the application is limited to cases where it makes some sort of sense. But over here, it doesn't make any sort of sense. So what did the Gemara say? What's the machlokas between Rabbi Yaakov and the Rabbanan? So the machlokas was whether you need the Gemara din of the shor in front of you. And because if the Rabbanan hold, since the shor needs to be in front of the Beis Din for its din Torah, the owner could say, to the shomer, you're the one that messed me up because it's in the hands of the Beis Din now. Now, where exactly did he mess him up? Where exactly did he do wrong? The Beis Din came and they wanted the shor. What should he have done exactly? So, what exactly did he do? Did he do that was that the owner could blame him for? So Rashi explains something that nuance that he probably would not have picked up just from reading the Gemara over here, where we left off in the middle of that long Rashi. Rashi says that the kuli alma amrin b'surei na'areishal chalafanecha hecha di sura mimela asalei. That's the key. That we say hareisha l'chalafanecha, everyone would agree, even the Rabbanan would agree, that he can return it and just say hareisha l'chalafanecha when the Isura came memela, when the Isura comes, when the Isur comes on its own. The guy doesn't do anything to the chametz to make it aser. He just leaves it in his house and it becomes aser. The time comes and it becomes aser. So the owner can't say, you're not giving me back anything, because he's giving him back the same item and the same thing that happened to the item in his rishos would have happened in the other guy's rishos. Avalhach, meaning the kasha Rashi is dealing with, he'll spell it out in a second, is if you can only say a taina that, you know, if it would have been in my possession, I would have done X, and therefore this isn't called returning. But Pesach should have the same taina. You should be able to say, if it would have been in my possession, I would have eaten it before Pesach. Or I would have eaten it on Pesach, whatever. I would have gotten enough from it, and therefore it's you're returning me something that's no good, not on Pesach, but before Pesach I would have eaten it, and therefore I would have gotten my enough from it. So the point can't just be that he has some sort of taina of how if it was in his possession he would have been better off. If that was it, then you could have the same argument by chametz. The point has to be something else. So Rashi says this is the point, that when it comes to chametz Pesach, it becomes aser memela. The amalei ha'lav midu aval hacha mishum hachi amri rabbanan eno muchzar. Over here, the reason the rabbanan say it's not muchzar, it doesn't count as chazar. Da amalei at faste l'turai, you took my shor and you let it be grabbed by bezin. Vezeka to be a dayimhu, you actively went ahead and damaged it. Shevi lebedino, you brought it to bezin. They told you to bring it. They said jump. You said how high? You brought it to bezin. You actively listened. Listen to them. Right? It can't just be that you didn't give it back to me, and that's what makes you chayiv, because you could have said the same thing by Chametz Pesach. And also, according to Rabbi Yaakov, nihidu gomrim dinu shel shor shelo b'fanav. Granted, there's such a thing as a gemar din of the shor shelo b'fanav. If the point is, if you would have given it back to me, I would have been able to avoid it. So, according to Rabbi Yaakov, couldn't he still have had the same taina? Granted, according to Rabbi Yaakov, they would be able to say, yeah, but the Beis Din would have given a Gemara Din on your shor anyway. But still, namely, let him say, look, if you would have returned it to me, have a shachit nalei. I would have shechted it prior to the Gemara Din. And then it's kosher if you shechted it prior to the Gemara Din. Ella, so the point can't just be that you didn't return it to me. Ella, the law hadri lo mechayiv le rabbanan. The reason that rabbanan make the person chayiv is not because he didn't return it. The hakama hadu le hashto, because he is returning it now. V'aminu b'suri anah reishal chalufanecha. And that's called returning it. So what's the problem? It's not that he didn't return it, because he is returning it. El chiyuve mishum da'alichal de'bezin v'yadayim. The chiyuv is because he actively went and he gave it to Bezin. V'achi kamerle, lo ha'yilichal da'alichal de'bezin, di'ava b'yad yav marak le'minayim. And that's the point. He says to him, you shouldn't have given it to Bezin, because had you not given it to Bezin, had I had it in my hands, I would have hidden it. So that's the nuance that probably would have been missed in the Gemara. Tosos happens to not agree with that chilik. In this long Tosos, he doesn't think it's an issue of active versus passive. Balamar Ramban also have the same machlokas as Rashi Tosos. Okay, whatever, it's a bigger issue. Let's go back to them. Masul Shomer Chinam L'Shol. The Mishnah then said that if you give it to a Shomer, you give it to one of the Dalit Shomerim, they're all Nichnas Tachtav. They all have the same din as the Bailim themselves. So Tan Rabbanan, Arba Nichnas Utachas Bailim. There are four that take the place of the Bailim. Elu Hain, Shomer Chinam Hashol, Nasachar Vasocher. Familiar four, right? The four types of Shomerim. Hargu Tamin, Neharagin, Uptur Menakofer. If the shar in the care of a shomer kills, so if it was a shar tam, it still gets killed, just like the Mishnah says, the shar tam that kills still gets killed, but doesn't pay kofar. Muadin ragnu mishalmin is kofar, but if it was a shar muad and it killed under the care of a shomer, not only does the shar get killed, you have to pay kofar as well. V'chayavin lahachzir d'mei shar l'bailiv chutz mishomer chinam. And what about, how does the shomer deal with the owner? With that he's got to return his shard too. So now the shard just got killed. Now let's say he didn't return it to him before the Gemara did or whatever. The shard got killed. It's done now. So now what does he do? So he has to pay back the value of the shard to the Bailim unless he was a Shomer Chinam. If he was a Shomer Chinam, he doesn't need to pay back the value of the shard. So frankly, Gemara, Amri Hechidami, what's the case? If he watched the shar afilu kulanami lifteru, then he shouldn't have to pay back anything to the Bailam in any of the cases, because it was anonymous. He did what he was supposed to do, and he watched the shar. Now Rashi points out, wait a second. So he was anonymous, but a shal is chayev ba'ansim. So I'm going to say kulanami lifteru. So Rashi says no. Kulu means lifteru midmeshvar bar mishawel. Means except for a shol, because none of a shol is takachayev. But it means kulu except for the one that's not so about. Right? So the three out of the four should have been putter if the guy watched it properly, because then he's a total anus. If he did not watch it properly, afilu shomer chinam nechayev. Then even if he was a shomer chinam, he should be chayev. Because then he's posheya if he didn't watch it at all. So that everyone should be chayev. Why is it everyone has to pay back except for the shomer chinam? I mean, what's the case where the shomer sachar and the socher are going to have to pay back, but the shomer chinam will not have to pay back the original bailim? So Amri, hachamai eskinan, did not reshmir p'chusa, v'lo not reshmir mu'ula. So we said a compromise. He watched the shmir p'chusa, that he puts a door in front of it that can stand in front of a ruach mitzuya, but not in front of a ruach sheina mitzuya. But he didn't do a shmir mu'ula. He didn't do a high level shmira. So shomer chinam kol salo shmira. So hanach lo kol salo shmira. Shomer chinam did what he was supposed to do. Kol salo shmira. So he doesn't have to do a stronger level of shmira than that, and therefore he's not called the posheya. So when it comes to paying back the bailim, is going to be pater from paying back the demei shari. He did whatever shmira he was supposed to do. But the others were not kol sa shmirasan. The others were did not do the shmira that they're chayev to do. They need a higher level shmira because they're chayev in gnev v'aveda. It's not good enough to lock it up in a way that a ruach mitzuyah won't knock it down. You have to lock it up in a way that a ganav can't get to it. It has to be a higher level shmira. So therefore they're going to be chayev to the bailim. So So Amri Kaman. So says Amar, wait a second, that's not good enough. We have to analyze further. Ik Rabbi Meir, if we assume like Rabbi Meir, Damar Shomer, Damar Socher, Kishomer Chinam Dami, Lisni Chutzmi Shomer Chinam Veha Socher. If you hold like Rabbi Meir that a Socher is the same din as a Shomer Chinam, now we're going to be using two factors over here and we're changing halfway through a sentence, so it's important to keep in mind. There are two machlokasim that we're going to be referring to between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. One is what the status of a Socher is. Is a socher like a shomer chinam, or is a socher like a shomer sachar? And the other one is what we related to before, recently, is that a muad, Rabbi Meir holds a muad needs the same level of shmira that a tam would need, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds a tam needs a higher level shmira than a muad. So keep in mind that the brisa that we quoted said that did not distinguish between a tam and a muad. It just said that if you were a shomer and you had the shar and the shar killed and it has now gotten killed because it killed, so the brisa said you have to pay back the owner unless you're a shomer chinam. So we're going to need somebody, a shita in Tanaim, who holds that we're not going to distinguish between the tam and the muad. And he's also going to hold that the shomer, that the socher is in the category of the shomer sachar, because the Bryce clearly puts the shomer chinam outside of the other three shomerim, and the Bryce also does not distinguish between tam and mur. So normally when you say either Rav Meir this, either Rav Yehuda that, we're referring to the same shita. We're actually going to be switching now. So says Gemara, let's see it inside now. It took a while to get that, so you have to. So Amar Kaman, ich Rabbi Meir, if we're assuming like Rav Meir, damer socher shomer chinam dami, who holds that a socher has the same din as a shomer chinam, listen, chutz mi shomer chinam v'socher. So let it say, with the exception should not just be Shomer Chinam, the exception should be that who does not have to pay back, both the Shomer Chinam and the Socher. V'krabi Yehuda, domer Socher, k'nosi Sachar dami, and if it's like Rabbi Yehuda who says that a Socher is like a Shomer Sachar, nisni, chutz mi Shomer Chinam, v'kulim b'muadin peturin, then it should say chutz mi Shomer Chinam, which it does say, but it should also add v'kulim b'muadin peturin, that if it's a muad, it's pater, linyan kofar, that it's pater from paying the kofar. Why should it add that? Not because of what Rabbi Yehuda holds regarding a socher, but because of what Rabbi Yehuda holds regarding the shmira you need on a muad, that on a shor muad, a shmira p'chus is good enough. You don't need a high-level shmira on a shor muad. And again, as we pointed out, it's not logical. Doesn't it's a drashas from Pesukim we're going to have later on today's daf. It's not logical that a shor muad should require less shmira than a shor tam. But it is. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. He darshans it from Pesukim that a shor muad requires less shmira than a shor tam. But if Rabbi Yehuda were the author of that brisa, then he should say that. Then he should say that if it were a muad, then you're always going to be pater, because as long as you did a shmira p'chusa, then you're good. So what's pshat in the brisa? Who's the author of the brisa? Two possibilities the Gemara is going to suggest. Possibility number one, Amar Rav Huna Bar Chinna, Hamani Rav Lazar, Yidamarein Lo Shmir El Asakin. That the Braisa goes like Rav Lazar, who we're going to have later in today's daf, who says that the only possible Shmira to do is the knife. Meaning, it's not Shomer unless it's dead. That's the only way you can be sure it's not going to do anything. So, Linyan Sochas, meaning, and therefore, Shmir P'chus is obviously not good enough. Right? Whatever Shmira you did over here is clearly not good enough. And Rabbi Lazar holds linyan socher, savor like Rabbi Yehuda, domer socher k'nosi sachar dami. And regarding whether the status of the socher, he'll hold that a socher has the din of a shomer sachar. So that's the sheet in the braisa. Again, all we needed is a tana who puts a socher in the same category as a shomer sachar, and a tana who holds that a tam and a muad are both going to be chayiv equally. Right? That you have no less a requirement of shmira for a muad than you do for a tam. So it can't be Rabbi Meir, it can't be Rabbi Yehuda. We just need a. Now, had we not had a Rabbi Lazar, we probably would have said that it's going like a third Tana. We would have made up a Tana. It's going like a third Tana who holds like Rabbi Meir in the issue of the status of the Socher, and holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the issue of the status of the Socher, and holds like Rabbi Meir in the issue of the Shmira that a Muad requires. Abai Amar Abai says Liolam Rabbi Meir. No, really, the Brisa is Rabbi Meir. Ukid the Machlof Rabbi Baravu Avitani Socher Ketsa Meshalim Rabbi Meir Mukshar Masach Rabbi Yehuda Mukshar Merchinam. And we just got it backwards. The Machlokas we mentioned before about the status of the Socher, we got it backwards. It's Rabbi Yehuda who can't fit into the Brisa, because Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says that the Shomer Chinam has the status of that the Socher has the status of a Shomer Chinam. Rabbi Meir holds the Socher is like a Shomer Sachar, so the Brisa is perfect like Rabbi Meir. So either you got to change that machlokas, or you need to assume our mission is assuming like a third time. Fine. Amar Rav Lazar, Masr Shor L'Shomer Chinam Hizik Chayiv Huzak Pater. If I give my shor over to a Shomer Chinam and it damages, so the Shomer is going to be Chayiv. But if it gets damaged, the Shomer is going to be Pater from paying for the damages. So Amar Hechidami, what's the case? Eid Kabbal Alei Shmiras Nezakav Afilu Huzak Nami L'Chayiv. If I was Mekabel at the time that he gave me the shor to watch it for damages, so then it doesn't matter if it gets damaged or does damage, I should have to pay for it. And if I was not makabel at the time of the Shemira to take care of damaging issues, so then it shouldn't make a difference. I should always be pater, regardless of whether it does damage or gets damaged. Now the case is, I was makabel to take care of its nezikin issues. But the case is, this shor had a reputation already. It was known as a nagchan. It was known as a shor that has gored in the past. So the stam of the milsa is that we assume at the time that the agreement was made, If you give me your dangerous shor and you say, can you watch my shor? It's a little bit dangerous. So when I say, I'll watch and regarding its nezikin issues, presumably what I mean is, I understand it's dangerous, I'll make sure it doesn't hurt anybody. But I didn't even have a havamina anyone would hurt it, because it's known to, Rashi adds a little bit, why did I not have a havamina that no one would hurt it? So Rashi says, because it's a mean, nasty shor, who's going to start up with it? I mean, this is a shor that walks around and is the tough guy on the block, so no one's going to start up with it. I didn't have a havamina that anyone would start up with it. It's such a violent shor. Who's going to want to start up with it? So because I didn't have such a havamina, therefore, I'm only going to be chayiv for what we assume I accepted, which is to make sure it doesn't hurt anybody else. Okay.
So there's a new category of shor. There's tam, mu'ud, and nachfam.
Well, no, mu'ud just means mu'ud to do damage, not to get damaged. So, it's mu'ud. Meaning it's not really mu'ud. Nagchan is less than mu'ud. No, we said in the past, when a shor gores once, it's already a nagchan. Of course, twice, it's already a nagchan, but it's not yet a mu'ud. But you know, I mean, that's how it gets to being a mu'ud, especially if you assume that the status of mu'ud is assigned to the bailim. Right, it's because you know you should have an extra level of shmira on this shor. Why should you have an extra level of shmira on the shor? Because the shor has already shown a violent tendency. So after the first time, second time, it's already shown a violent tendency. So yeah, that's definitely a status. Says the Mishnah, kashru b'alav b'mosra v'nal b'fanav karayi. If the owner locks it up and properly v'yatz v'hizik, and then it goes and it damages, echatam echad mur chayiv divrei meir. Whether it be a tam, whether it be a mur, you're going to be chayiv, Rav Meir holds. Rabbi Yehuda omer, no, tam chayiv. If it's a short time, you're chayiv. Mu'ad pater, but if it's mu'ad, you're pater. This is the machlokes from Rabbi Yehuda we were just referring to before, whether tam and mu'ad need the same level of shmira, which is a Rav Meir shita, or no, mu'ad does not need as high a level of shmira as tam does. So here's Rabbi Yehuda says that the mu'ad is going to be pater. Why? Shenemer v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, v'shamur who's that? Pasuk says, v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. By the pasuk by Mu'ad, it says if you know that the shor is a nagachum itmol shalshom, and then v'lo yishmerenu balav shalem shalem shor tachzor shor v'meisi elo. Right, then we have the din of a shor Mu'ad. So, but that's only v'lo yishmerenu balav. All you need is some sort of shmira. This is shamur. Rav Lazar Omer, Rav Lazar says no. Ein lo shmira l'sakin. The only way to be shomer any shor is with the knife, is to kill it. Otherwise, short of that, there's no such thing as shmira. So my time is Rav Meir. What's the svara for Rabbi Meir who holds that the shmira is equal both for a tam and for a mu'ad, that the level of shmira required is the same, and therefore, even if you did a reasonable shmira, if it's a tam and a mu'ad, it's going to a tam or a mu'ad, you're going to be chayiv. My tam is Rameir, k'savar stam shvarim lav b'cheska shimur kaimi. This is a little bit of a strange usage of the expression. Normally, when we say the words lav b'cheska shimur kaimi, it means that it's unwatchable. Right, that it's wild, that it's crazy, that you can't watch it. Over here, lav b'cheska shimur kaimi means we assume the owner is not watching it, meaning it's normally so calm that the owner is not going to watch it. A stam shor, the owner figures he doesn't really have to watch it, it's really okay, it's not going to do anything anyway. So lav b'cheska shimur kaimi means something different over here than it does normally. Rashi says, eino de mishamer shor uklal, Nemuka Yosef adds in a word, lav b'cheska shimur bailim kaimi. Normally, because why does he add in the word? Because normally, lav b'cheska shimur kaimi always means that the shor inherently is problematic. So he says, lav b'cheska shimur bailim kaimi, ella b'cheska shimur kaimi. Mukha Yosef says, it's not b'cheska shimur bailim, it's b'cheska shimur, meaning that the shor itself is really under control, and therefore we assume that the bailim is not taking care of it. V'amar Rachmana, tam nechayiv de nibay leshmir p'chusa. And the Torah says that the tam is chayiv because it requires a shmir p'chusa. Meaning, had the Torah not said anything, I would assume the shor doesn't do anything and the bailim doesn't have to take care of anything because the shor is so calm. The Torah goes out of its way by a short time and tells me there's some level of chiyuv. So it tells me you need at least a shmir p'chusa. Then the Torah tells me again that you need shmira by mu'ad, then you buy the shmira mu'ula. And that's to teach me that by mu'ad you need a higher level shmira. And then we darshan one from the other. We darshan tam from mu'ad. So even though from tam I would only know shmira p'chusa, once the Torah tells me by mu'ad you need another level of shmira, we assume that raises the level to shmira mu'ula. Then we learn one from the other that shor tam and shor mu'ad both need a shmira mu'ula. That's how Rav Meir darshans. But Rav Yehuda savar, stam shor and b'cheska shimur kaimi. Rav Yehuda says, no, stam shor is b'cheska shimur. We assume that it is watched. Meaning we assume that the owner would watch it because he should assume it's dangerous. Then the Torah goes out of its way to say that a tam pays because it needs more than just watching. What does it need? Shmira ma'ula. It needs a high level of watching. And then the Torah says that by muad also needs a level of shmira. But of course it needs a level of shmira. The Torah already told me by tam that it needs a level of shmira. It's another shmira ma'ula. But again, the Torah is telling me that by muad it needs shmira ma'ula. Have a riboy achar riboy. So that's a riboy achar riboy. The Torah is being marba in two consecutive cases. Vein riboy achar riboy el lemayit. And that's always the rule that whenever you have a riboy achar riboy, it's coming to be mimayit. So what's coming to be mimayit? Miyet hakasav, the shmira mu'ula. So the pasuk is telling me that when it comes to a mu'ad, you don't need a shmira mu'ula. Shmira, yes, you do need, but you don't need, because pasuk pshat and pasuk has to be true. So it's not coming to be mimayit shmira, but it's coming to be mimayit shmira mu'ula. That we go back to the basic logic that it requires some level of shmira, which I would have assumed without the Torah. Right? That you need a shmira p'chus, at least, for a mu'ad, but not a shmira mu'ula. V'chi tem negich l'tam negich l'mu'ad. I want you to say though that just like Rav Meir said that you should learn out the din of tam from the din of muad, and therefore the din of muad should also require the same level of shmira that the tam has. Hamiyet rachman v'lo yishmerenu lazev v'lo liachar. The pasuk says v'lo yishmerenu. So whatever that din is telling me of v'lo yishmerenu, which Rabbi Yehuda is darshaning, it's telling me that you only need a shmira p'chusa is dafka on this shar, not on another shar. So it's an extra miut in the pasuk. What do you mean? We need v'lo yishmerenu to teach me the lav. Meaning, Tulsa says, this is the same as asking me, we needed to teach me the riboy achar riboy. Meaning, you're the one that made the drasha, that it's a riboy achar riboy lemait. And then you're going to tell me that there's another drasha on v'lo yishmerenu, that it's lezev lo liacher. You're already using it for the drasha of riboy achar riboy. Now the point is the Torah could have said v'lo yishmar, and that would have been a riboy achar riboy. My v'lo yishmerenu, lezev lo liacher. Why does it say v'lo yishmerenu? To tell me lezev lo liacher. To tell me that whatever the level of shmira is that's required is dafka on this, on the shar muad, that you need a shmira p'chusa, on the shar tam, you would need a higher level of shmira. You need a shmira mu'ula. Tanya, Rav Lozer ben Yaakov Amar Echad Tam Echad Muad Shesharmu Shmira P'chusa Pater. Rav Lozer ben Yaakov holds, whether it be a tam, whether it be a muad, if you do only a shmira p'chusa on it, you're pater. My taima, Savalak Rav Yehuda Damar Muad, meaning that we didn't have at all, that both a tam and a muad only need a shmira p'chusa. We had Rav Meir saying both need a shmira mu'ula, and we had Rav Yehuda saying that the tam needs a shmira mu'ula, and the muad needs a shmira p'chusa. Now we have both only requiring a shmira p'chusa? Why? So Savalak Rav Yehuda Damar Muad b'shmira p'chusa sagila, the Alf Negichalat. He doesn't darshan the Yishmerenu, right? He darshans like Rabbi Yehuda that a muad only needs Shmira P'chusa, and then he darshans like Rabbi Meir that we learn out the din of one to the other. So once the muad only needs Shmira P'chusa, Tam also only needs Shmira P'chusa. So we have all the logical possibilities. Amar Avad Barava, lo pat Rabbi Yehuda el tzad ha'do'a shabo, av tzad tam v'bimkom omedes. Unbelievable chiddush. Dulls the chiddush of Rabbi Yehuda a little bit. Because Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying something so illogical that what a short time requires a higher level shmira, short more requires a lower level shmira. So Rav Adbarava sort of dulls that chiddush a little bit. Says, no. When he says that a short more requires a lower level shmira, that means to pay the second half of the damage. But to pay the first half of the damage, you're still going to need, meaning it's still going to require that same level shmira as a shartam. So if to be chayiv for the first half of the damage, if you did a shmira p'chusa, you're still going to be chayiv for the first half of the damage, even if the shar was a shar muad. You're just not going to have to pay nezek shalim. But the first half of the damage that you would have been chayiv had it been a shartam, that doesn't go away. Because it's illogical that it should go away. I have a shartam and I do a shmira p'chusa, I'm going to be chayiv. If the shor then becomes a muad, I do that same level of shmira, I'm now going to be totally off the hook? No. I'm going to still be chayiv for the same thing I was chayiv when it was a tam. Amar Rav, muad Karen Yamin, ain't a muad the Karen Small. A muad for the right horn is not a muad for the left horn. If it was a muad to damage with its right horn, it's not a muad for the left horn. That's the question. Tulsa over here says, Masil Lemember, the Dafka Nakat Lefisha Karen Yamin Mizuman Lahazik Yoser mi Karen Shal Small. Why does it pick the right horn? Because it's more likely to damage with the right horn than it is with the left horn. Aval muad the Karen Small, Kolshkin, the muad the Karen Yamin. I mean, it's only in this direction that if it's muad to damage with the right horn, then it's not a muad to damage with the left horn. But if it's a muad to damage with the left horn, that's then for sure it's a muad to damage with the right horn, because it's mistama or righty. No, I think that's what those are assuming, that it's more likely damaged with the right horn. So, Oshema, or maybe Tosfos says, Ein mod v'orcha d'milsa nakat. That really doesn't make a difference. It's not going to be a mod one way or the other. It's just more normal to damage with the right horn. So we say that it's more normal to damage with the right horn. So it's going to be a mod for the Karen Yamin. But either way, it wouldn't be a mod for the other. If it's only if you see that it has a preferred horn, that's the only side that it's a mod for. So we're going to use this to ask Akasha on Rav Adabar Ava. Okay, we're not going to get to it today. But again, the Chiddush of Rav Adabar Ava, that Tzad Tamos B'Mekom Omedus, and we'll work off that tomorrow. We'll continue with that tomorrow.